Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 186, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. And what follows, Psalter 186, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
consistory announces to the congregation that Mr. John Van Garderen has laid down his office as elder this past week. On behalf of the consistory and congregation, we wish to thank him for the years he has served the congregation, and may the Lord remember him as he continues as widower. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 13. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. And neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. We hope to remember in prayer the Valtice family were yesterday evening. It has pleased the Lord by the hand of death to take out of Bethesda Mr. Ben Valtice at the age of 86 by death. Mr. and Mrs. Martin and Nadine Van Dyke, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl, and Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who has been in and out of the hospital again in this past week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Eternal and almighty Lord God, the great creator and upholder of the heavens and of all the earth, the fountain of all good, the father of all mercies, and that is only possible through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where we may all have a place upon this earth because of his merits, also the unconverted as a consequence of that sacrifice, because there is still a church that must and shall be gathered, and for thy children where they have been saved. Lord, then it behooves us to humbly acknowledge thee that in the way of thy goodness and in the way of thy patient long-suffering, that thou wast watched over the whole congregation in the home, on the way, at work, in school, wherever we were called to be, where thou wast not dealt according as we deserve, because if thou had done so, then we would no longer have a place upon the earth, and then in this morning hour, and not a place within the walls of thy house of prayer, ah Lord. May it please thee by the first time and by renewal to grant profound impressions of these matters, and that we may be given oftentimes, ah, that is thy work, when the Pharisee may become a publican, and where he may be given to pray in thy house, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And although thou wast spared the whole congregation, then empty places have come, also in Bethesda, where yesterday evening it was thy appointed time to remove out of their midst, and also a beloved father out of the midst of a family circle. For him it has become eternity, ah Lord. Wilt thou uphold and remember the mourning family, may the calling be sanctified. But wilt thou also remember our Bethesda, the residents and the staff, an empty place. They have become a mourning family by renewal, ah Lord. It is true he was old. He has surpassed the age of the strong. But all we know that the old must die, and that the young can die, that this calling may then be used in thy hand for the coming of thy kingdom, Lord. Do remember us as a congregation. Wilt thou remember and uphold the consistory wherein the past week that a brother has laid down his office. Lord, then we commend him unto thee also as he continues life journey as a widower. Wilt thou remember him in thy mercy. Wilt thou help and remember the consistory with their manifold labors. May there be many errands in hers, and may the labors be richly blessed to the hearts of young and old. Our Lord, dwell richly amongst us in this morning hour. May thy word be blessed. Then our fathers of old have thought it was profitable to set aside a certain number of weeks, where in a special way we may be given to remember and meditate upon the sacrifice which thy dear Son was willing, which he has brought to the satisfaction of thy justice, the glorification of all thy attributes, and for the salvation of thy church, O Lord. May it please thee, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, to work that need for the first time, where our guilt is so great, it is so heavenly high, that we cannot even begin to repay, but, O Lord, then by nature, oh, it is still a privilege when we may have deep impressions of these things, and that we live not so easy upon the earth, but, Lord, we need to be born again. The work of thy Holy Spirit, Thy love shed abroad in the heart. We need to become a sinner that learns that we can never save ourselves, and that the prayer is born whether there is a way for such a one to escape that well-deserved punishment and to be restored into that blessed favor. Ah, Lord, in these weeks, wilt thou grant further leadings that poor and troubled souls, ah, we have sung together of a poor and needy people, burdened with their sins, a missing of thee, with those vehement desires. May it then be granted in this season that by an eye of faith, that they may be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, where guilt has been paid for, where they may be reconciled. Ah, Lord, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit worketh through thy holy word. May it be blessed to that end in this morning. Ah, grant unto thy people that they may be given to experience that out of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. May they have life, and may they have it more abundantly, to be led deeper into the mysteries of salvation, and to be exercised with that assurance, ah, Lord, at all the ways for thy blessing. And thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou remember all the needs? Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold, to remember, and to comfort them? Remember all of our elderly ones that have come to the evening of their life. O Lord, above all things, do save their souls. Remember the sick and afflicted ones. Ah, there are many amongst us with many fears, with many cares. We commend unto thee the daughter with all her pain, with all her discomfort, overwhelmed, ah, Lord, in and out of the hospital. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that thou may grant a solution. Remember the parents, overwhelmed at times at their wits' end. May they be given to be remembered in prayer in a special way, and that also this special calling, that it may be used. Lord, remember all those that are waiting further for doctor consultation. Thou knowest all the fears and all the cares. We commend unto thee a father and mother who for the first time in their married life were blessed with a little child, premature, but hitherto thou hast made all things well, still in the intensive care. Wilt thou graciously watch over her? Grant unto father and mother a humble and a broken heart, and that the prayers may be multiplied, that she may be a little one for thee. Wilt thou remember the grandparents with their blessing, with their increased responsibility? We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them, and in due time, that thou may gladden them with thy divine deeds. We now humbly ask thee, Lord, in this morning hour, for thy gracious help. Wilt thou open thy precious testimony, grant that liberty and that freedom to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. May thy word go forth with power divine. I'll make it an unforgettable service. Magnify thy wonders in the hearts of us and our dear children, where we are all hastening to eternity. Oh, it is already the seventh Sabbath day of this newly begun year. Then thou art telling us that we are hastening through this life, and thou grantest this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee, O Lord. May it then please thee in this morning, by thy free and sovereign grace, that thou mayst seek out sinners, and then they shall become seekers, and for those true seekers, they shall become finders, and they shall also become praisers with that vehement desire. Oh, also in that respect their guilt, but it is their vehement desire that all people, the whole congregation, young and old, would become a God praiser, O Lord. Wilt thou then remember us and our dear children? In thy mercy, pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 185, the stanzas 5 through 9. Well known to thee is my reproach, my shame and my disgrace. The adversaries of my soul are all before thy face. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the disaster fund, which will be designated for the needs in Israel. Psalter 185, the stanzas 5 through 9.
Thank you.
in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 13 and thereof the 7th verse. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, as saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Our text words speak of Zechariah's prophecy regarding the sword of God's justice, with four thoughts. In the first place, the sword awakened. Secondly, the sword smiting. Thirdly, the sword scattering. And in the fourth place, the sword liberating. As Zechariah's prophecy regarding the sword of God's justice, the sword awakened, the sword smiting, the sword scattering, and the sword liberating. Thus, in the first place, the sword awakened. Beloved congregation, the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah were given to prophesy in the year 520 before the birth of Christ. And that was a time where for 16 years the building of the temple has ceased, the foundation was laid, but on account of the enemies, it has come to a standstill. And now the Lord, in his great mercy, then he has sent two prophets who in the name of the Lord have declared that he must commence that rebuilding of the temple. Perhaps in this morning, that there is a soul that now says, that is now my picture. Oh, I believed, at least I thought, that the Lord has begun, and then that foundation, not that such a soul does know the foundation, but they have been given to experience wonderful things, but where it now seems that it has all come to a standstill, and concerning the sword of God's justice, no answer and no solution. Then the prophet Zechariah has received precious visions, eight night visions from the Lord. And there already in those visions, there was pointed forward to the New Testament, to him that would come. Think of the first night vision, the man upon a red horse, among those myrtle trees in a lowly place. Oh, the third night vision, a man with a measuring line that he has measured that city. It would be a city that would be inhabited by many people and for whom the Lord would place a wall round about. In Zechariah 3, Then we have Joshua, the high priest, with that filthy garment, a Satan accusing, but where he has received another garment. And now also in this chapter, and then we read of precious things already at the end of the 12th chapter, and then we read of people, individuals, families apart. What a blessed time that is, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. We have heard it out of the first verse of the 13th chapter, a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And that is such a precious fountain that the chiefest and the greatest of sinners may be washed of all of their sins, and young and old. It is so needful that by the grace of God that we are led to that fountain of revelation, but also by true saving faith to drink out of that fountain. And then further the prophetess prophesied of blessed times of a reformation concerning idols. And then he has also spoken, there were false prophets who thought that they should be a prophet, but not truly called and sent by the Lord, but that they were also uncovered, and that they were given to declare that they were only a farmer, and that they were wounded by their friends, that they were honestly told that they were not a true prophet. But now in our text words we find of that only and true prophet who has been prophesied of so many times already in the mother promise and many other places. And then we read in our text, awake, O sword. What are we now to understand by that sword? We read sword more than 400 times in our Bible. It speaks, think of Romans 13 verse 4, the government carries not a sword in vain, upholding justice. We read different times of a sword in the time of war, what a terrible thing that war is, with so much bloodshed. But then the sword in the Bible, different places, is also a symbol or emblem of the Lord's holy, pure, and infinite justice. And so it is in our text words. And then when we read, awake, O sword, that in a certain sense tells us, boys and girls, that that sword was asleep. And you can understand that a sword cannot sleep, because that is just a dead object. But then it is implied, we may say it so, that that sword was in its sheath or in its case, that it was not active. Do you ever think of that congregation? Of the sheath of the Lord's patient long-suffering, that the Lord has not taken that sword out, and that he has smitten us. Therefore, we may still be in the land of the living, but that sword that must do its executing work. And in our text, then we have Lord's Day number 5, question and answer number 12. Since we deserve temporal and eternal punishment by that sword, is there then a way that we may escape that punishment and be restored into favor? You know the answer, congregation. God will have his justice satisfied either by us or by an other. That an other. That is declared in our text. And now when we read in our text, "Awake, O sword," then we read in Revelation 13, verse 8, that the Lamb has been slain from the foundation of the world in the decree of God. And to that end, the church in the Old Testament was saved in the same way as the church in the New Testament. But the Old Testament Christ who would come in the fullness of time, and the New Testament by Christ who has come and has fulfilled all things. Thus that word "awake," that also implies, oh, in the Old Testament, what a cry there was that that sword may do its work, that justice may be satisfied, and to that end that the Lord may show his favor. In the Old Testament, that a word "awake," that also refers to exercises concerning the Lord's promise, concerning the coming Messiah who would come in the fullness of time to satisfy justice. Where do we read of a sword for the first time in the Bible? Quite soon already. The third chapter in Genesis. In verse 24, after Adam, Eve have taken of that forbidden fruit, and then they were called, the mother promise, faith to embrace, clothed with long coats. And then in verse 24, they were driven out of paradise. And then there was a gate going to paradise. And in that gate, there were cherubims, angels that held onto a sword that turned every way and anyone that would approach to that gate, try to enter into that paradise, the Garden of Eden, they would be immediately slaughtered. That's the only way to receive a place in paradise in heaven, that that sword does its executing work. The Old Testament, it all appointed to the need, to the time, that that sword would be awakened, that that sword would be satisfied. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, Genesis 22, there we find a beautiful picture, type, Abram, not a sword but a sharp knife, ready to slaughter his son. But then Isaac has received a substitute. Exodus 12, the evening of the Passover, when the angel would come by, then the angel, not that it's not needed, but then the angel would not ask, boys and girls, do you obey and honor your parents, fathers and mothers? Do you instruct your children in the things of the Lord? Can it be seen that you belong to that covenant people, all necessary, but that would not be the point. What was the point, boys and girls? What was now the point on the evening of the Passover? And what would the angel look for? Would look at the sides and the top of the doorpost, whether there was the blood of the Lamb. How is that with our heart? Have we become exercised with that blood? Oh, think of the book of Leviticus, the first 7 chapters, not all so easy to understand, but laid out very clearly, burnt offerings, peace offerings, meat offerings, sin and trespass offerings. Leviticus 16, the great day of atonement, those 2 goats. Numbers 19, that red heifer that must be slaughtered and the ashes gathered and laid in a special place that they could be used for cleansing. As we read the Old Testament, each time by renewal, there was a need for sacrifices every morning, every evening, the burnt offerings on the Sabbath day, double offerings, also instruction for us and our children. Then different times at special occasions, the number of sheep and oxen are mentioned. Thus what a blood has flown in the Old Testament. And when the true child of God, by true saving faith, would be given to look and to see that it all pointed to the coming Messiah, it was for the saving of their souls. But in the Old Testament, there was that cry each day after all the sacrifices that it was never enough, that it had waited for the fulfillment. And that is what our prophet and our text is given to speak of, the fulfillment of all those sacrifices, that sword would be given to awake. Congregation, why must that sword, why must it now awake and execute? That is because of our sins. And may I ask you, how is it with our sins? Not asking whether you have sins. That's not the question. Even all our boys and girls, he'll say, that we are sinners. But have we now become busy with our sin? Has it become our sorrow, our burden? Or is it still our delight? That is a great difference. Our sorrow or our delight. And now on account of that love to all the attributes of the Lord, also a love for that sword of God's justice, a bowing thereunder, and yet a soul that cannot miss the Lord. That is the worst. To have to miss the Lord. But now the prophet Zechariah, then he may point in the former verses, there were false shepherds, prophets that were not truly called. But now in opposition, there would come one, then that sword would be awakened, and it would do its work. That is our second thought. The sword smiting, because concerning our sin, we read something very solemn in Psalm 7, verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. And then in verse 12, if he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. What a solemn word. For the wicked, for sinners, that through our sins, then the Lord is saying he is sharpening that sword. When there is no turning, no repentance, no bowing, no seeking, a hardening of the heart, but now the wonder. We read of the sword smitten. And then first we have to consider who was smitten. And then we also need to consider who smites. Boys, girls can understand it. When there is a sword and it smites, then there is one that holds onto that sword. And then there is also the one that shall be smitten. And what does it now say in our text? That it shall be the heathens that shall be smitten, shall be the Jewish people, the people of Jerusalem, people that have come faithfully up to the synagogue. That is not what we read in our text. But then we read, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. And I think that our boys and girls know who that shepherd is. In John 10, he is called the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. In Hebrews 13, verse 21, he is called the great shepherd of his sheep. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, there he is called the chief shepherd. But now concerning that shepherd, then we read of that shepherd, my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. And then it is clear in our text, because in the economy of the Trinity, then it is the Father that upholds and executes his justice, and it is also the Father that acquits. And now in our text words, then the Father says, my shepherd and my fellow, in Philippians 2, the verses 6 and 7, my equal. Thus that points to the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. And in Proverbs, it is already written in chapter 8, verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him and was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the children of men. Thus my shepherd, my fellow, the only begotten Son of God, typified in Genesis 22, where the Lord has commanded Abram, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, and offer him for a sacrifice upon the mount, which I will tell thee of. Thus my shepherd, my fellow, that speaks of the divinity of the Son of God, the shepherd, who would be smitten. But then we also read in our text words, other matters, against the man that is my fellow. Thus that word man, that points, he has assumed our human nature. He was born in the stable, and now the sword of the Holy Father, executing his holy justice, has not come upon sinners, but we read in our text, upon his only begotten Son. And what was now the reason? Thank you, no boys and girls. Why did the Father take that sword in the fullness of time out of his sheath, and that he has smitten his only begotten and beloved Son? Because we know that shepherd, he was so white, he was so pure, no original sin and no actual sin. And yet in our text, then the sword is called to smite. That was, we read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, that the Son of God, do not even only read, it is true, he has taken all the sins of his church upon him. Oh, what a precious sacrifice. But we read more, that he was even made sin. What a profound statement. And in Galatians 3 verse 13, that he has not only carried the curse, so boys and girls, we could say the curse upon his shoulders, but that he was made a curse. What profound words in the scriptures. And to that end, we read in Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Thus our text words speak of an executing justice. Are there souls in my midst that are walking upon the earth with the burden of your sins and no solution? Because the Holy Spirit also exercised that people with the perfect and holy justice of the Lord. And the true people of God also love that justice. Oh, they also love his mercy and his goodness. They love all his attributes. And with the burden of their sin, oh, what do that people try to do? If it is true, then there shall be repentance. And then they shall try to satisfy that justice. But I read in Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Do you know what that people learn? That they cannot be the lamb. That they cannot be the sacrifice. And then the prayer is born, Lord, is there now a way that that burden may be removed, that I may be reconciled? Oh, when that may be, then there shall be no praiser like me to be delivered and to be given to sing. Oh, then in our text, then the prophet Zechariah was given to declare what John the Baptist would preach in the New Testament, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And how the Father has smitten his Son. He has taken the smiting that God's people deserve. Oh, grace. What a wonderful word that is. And that there is a way. And now when that shepherd was smitten, did the sheep, did they now have a place apart? Did they help? That is our third thought. The sword smiting, the sword scattering. Let us first sing Psalter 266. Let us sing 1 and 2, and if necessary, also 3. A God is king forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. And what follows? 266, 1 and 2, and if necessary, also 3. Zechariah's prophecy regarding the sword of God's justice. The sword awakened the sword smiting, and now thirdly, the sword scattering. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, that speaks of the power of God. We cannot escape his justice, his all-searching eye sees everything. And then we read, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Thus that tells us, congregation, that when the shepherd was smitten, that those sheep did not receive one of those blows, but that they were scattered. Then we would think, when we think of the disciples, what precious confessions they have made concerning their master. They had the example of Judas, who was amongst them, who has departed, and it was night. And yet we read in the scriptures, different places, that when that sword began to smite, that the sheep were scattered. And Christ has even warned them in Matthew 26, verse 31, after they have sung a hymn, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. That is a clear proof that our text words speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the mediator between God and man. And then when we consider the shepherd, the last evening, the last night of his life, oh, see then the shepherd in Gethsemane, where the Father has taken that sword out of the sheath, and where that sword has come down upon his beloved Son, pictured in a cup that he was given, a cup so full of the wrath of God, and a cup that required satisfaction. And I read in Psalm 22, verse 6, I am a worm and no man. Do we not read that his sweat has become as great drops of blood that has fallen upon the cursed earth? Then we are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And then how was it with the sheep? They were tired. It was not intentional. Nevertheless, they have fallen asleep. And then Jesus, as the smitten shepherd, then he has addressed one of his sheep, because we read that Jesus has asked Peter, Peter, could ye not watch with me but 1 hour? See then in the hall of Caiaphas, the same sheep was a sheep that has become too proud, that was given to boast. It was on account of love. He says, Master, all these be offended, yet I will never be offended. And in the hall of Caiaphas, not once, not two times, but three times he has denied his master. And yet what a wonder for such sheep that Christ, that he has turned and looked with sorrow and with love, and the sheep has went out and wept bitterly. See then the shepherd smitten in the judgment hall. He was in that judgment hall alone. Only his back was scourged. Not most of the blows on the back of Jesus, and the sheep has received a few. No, they were scattered on the way to Golgotha. Three crosses. The center, Jesus. The disciples, the sheep, they were scattered. They have fled. It was only John the Apostle that has stood by the cross. And there were yet those women, but they had no part in that smiting, because we read that they have followed and stood afar off. Thus it was the shepherd that has received all the blows of that executing sword. The sheep were scattered. Are there souls that have also experienced that your sheep are more and more being scattered? Perhaps there are some, what do we mean? When the Lord works, and we have to do with our sin, the sword of God's justice, and that missing, and a justice that needs to be satisfied, then we shall be busy to bring our offerings, our lambs, and our sheep. And in the way of sanctification that is required and that is so precious. But what is now the trouble? That those seeking souls, it is true, on account of the love shed abroad in their heart, and the Lord sees it all, and the Lord sees that it is his own work. But now when those souls, and that is not only in the beginning, Dr. Owen has said, and he was led far in the mysteries of grace, how often that God's people mix justification and sanctification up, that they still bring their sanctification to be a small part of their justification. But now what is now necessary to learn? Oh, it is true. When we may bring little lambs, then maybe more innocent, better than an older sheep. But now what does the soul now need to learn? That when the Lord demands the satisfaction of his justice, that it needs to be satisfied perfectly, that all our sheep, oh, what a work that the Spirit has with his people, that with that sword, that unsheathed sword executing, sin must be paid for, that in that way, and the Lord with the one quicker than another, but that one by one, those sheep, that he had desired to bring to satisfy and please the Lord, that they are all scattered. No sheep to bring upon the altar, and yet that demanding sword, that executing sword, and in that way, for the Spirit to open their eyes, open His Word, open the precious gospel that was souls, not one sheep left, even the sheep of their religious duties, of their repentance, their tears, their reformation, it cannot be missed. But when that sword, when they are placed under that sword, that all those sheep, they shall be scattered, and there they stand as a guilty, an undone sinner, not a penny to pay. But now the wonder, when they may hear, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow," and that that executing sword does its work, is satisfied, and then reverently speaking, then the Father places that sword back in a sheath, because He is so well satisfied in the sacrifice of His Son. And then, oh, our forethought, a liberating sword, because then we see the fruits. And then we read in our text, "And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Then we only read of a hand. We do not read a hand with a sword. We do not even read a hand with a rod to chastise. All those little ones, they need the rod at times. But we read of that merciful hand. "I will turn my hand unto mine hand upon the little ones." Because that sword is satisfied, therefore the Lord can have communion, because the Lord can never begin that good work outside of the work of His dear Son. The Holy Spirit can never take up habitation in the heart of a sinner outside of that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And my hand upon the little ones." Of course, richly fulfilled after the resurrection. Oh, Mary Magdalene, weeping at the empty tomb. She was such a little one. And oh, Peter, who has denied his master. What has taken place when the great shepherd has visited that sheep that's too tender, not recorded in God's word? Those two travelers to Emmaus, they were also such little ones. And the disciples in the evening, also little ones. 8 days later, a Thomas, "Place my hand upon the little ones." Have we now become such a little one, congregation? Have we, by the grace of God, become such a little one? And then those little ones, they shall be enabled to tell in which way they are little. Oh, maybe a soul says, if I now may be among those little ones, then I shall be so happy if I would have that assurance. And if you had that assurance, what then? Then you would not need our text. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Ah, those little ones. Then they shall tell you, we are so little in knowledge and in understanding. Those two travelers to Emmaus, the shepherd has said, O fools of heart and slow to understand. Oh, those little ones, many times they do not know the way anymore. They shall tell you, not that those little ones have no trouble with pride. Think of Psalm 30, the verses 6 and 7. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. When by thy favor thou hast made my mountain stand strong, thou hidest thy face, and I was troubled. Ah, those little ones, they are little in faith. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, that was more concerning the providence of the Lord. Oh, ye of little faith. And Matthew 14, upon the sea. Oh, when Peter looked at the shepherd, it went well, but when he looked at the waves, he started to sink. Oh, ye of little faith. They are little in the way of courage, little in the way of strength. Paul even had to learn in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that a strength was made perfect in weakness. Little in sanctification. Those little ones, they learn the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that end upon that awaking of the sword, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, little of grace. Ah, they learned this all of, through, and to him. What a rich text. What a rich proclamation. My unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to beg, that you may become such a little one. By the grace of God, we have mentioned it. The Lord still keeps that sword in the sheath of his patience, long-suffering, but that long-suffering comes to an end, and therefore, oh, do beg, repent, believe. Christ has declared in Mark 1, verse 15, seek the Lord while he may be found. Oh, in our text, it speaks of a way that sinners can be saved. And then in the application after our text words, shall come to pass with the judgments in the first part that refers to Jerusalem, two parts there, and shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and that third part, oh, to keep those little ones little. Then we read, they shall be brought through the fire, refined as silver, try them as gold. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. Different commentaries also believe that these texts refer to the future of the Jews, and now concerning those little ones. Oh, that is a mark. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God, and that is only possible through our text. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of rich and wonderful matters, and then we need the tongue of an angel to declare the wonder thereof. Our Lord, in our text words, that is the only hope for us and our children. And we have heard of the meriting and also of the application of that salvation, our Lord. Do apply it by thy Spirit in this day. We also commend unto thee the branch. Gather also with them. Help the leaders. And may our text richly be experienced in their midst. Wilt thou graciously watch over us in this day. Grant a prayer for one another. Grant unto fathers and mothers freedom to speak to their children what they have heard in thy house. Return us in this evening our pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 55, the stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No one shall find me there. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. The Lord willing, there will be a midweek service on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. and the banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 55, 1 and 2. Thank you. save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.